I'm broadcasting to you live on CITR 101.9 FM at UBC, which broadcasts across the unceded, traditional, and ancestral lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Hope you enjoy the show.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. Don't even think about it, just name it. Ready? One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
What?
Did we just become best friends?
Yup!
Do you want to go do karate in the garage?
Yup!
You're listening to Songs with Friends.
What I want, you've got, and it might be hard to handle. But like a flame that burns a candle, the candle feeds a flame. And what I got, full stock of thoughts.
Burns a candle. Like the flame that burns the candle.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Songs with Friends, which is every Thursday, and today it's from 2 to 3. I have a very special guest and very special friend, So do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Ruby Raven.
Also known as Ruby Raven. We like to sing each other's names a lot, so there you go.
Daniel Afalabi.
Oh, wow, that was really beautiful. Please make that my ringtone or my voicemail message. How are you, Ruby? Thanks for being on the show.
I'm so good because I'm here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm having a great time. I don't know if you heard Ruby singing along to the intro song there, but what you need to know, if it wasn't clear, is that Ruby loves music.
I do.
What else should the people know about you before we hop right in?
My name is Ruby Raven. I am a lover of, grass.
Grass is good. You're wearing a fairy like grassy.
Yeah, I'm wearing like a green jacket and like deep royal purple pants.
Okay.
These are my purple pants.
Looking like royalty.
Thank you. Yes. That's basically all you need to know about me is I like grass.
Like grass, yeah. And the color purple.
Purple.
The royal variant.
The royal kind.
The royal variant of purple. Okay, awesome. Maybe let's just jump into your songs then, because I know you have a lot to talk about these, and I want to make sure you're given the space,
thank
the
you.
Time,
oh,
the grace to spew all of your wisdom when it comes to these songs. Yeah. And we have a special treat today because Ruby has constructed for us a set list that is meant to tell a story, specifically the story of Ruby Raven, the ballad of Ruby Raven, if you will.
I am Buster Scruggs.
You are Buster. Yeah. I'm so glad you understood that reference. I'm so glad you understood that reference. And I couldn't remember the rest of the movie title, so I just left it at that. But yeah, do you want to kick off this ballad for us and maybe tell us a little bit about the first song?
Yeah, so my understanding of the show is I love this concept so much. It's,
you
want to play some cool songs, discover some new music through your friends, but also get to know them more through their music taste. So I thought
better
that
than I could have described it myself. Thank you.
So I wanted to curate a little short playlist of, what stories I want to tell Daniel, what stories I want to tell about myself that explain who I am, and also like my relationship to the music that I listen to.
Yeah.
So the first song that you're going to hear is a song called To Zion by Lauryn Hill.
The queen.
She's literally.
Yeah, not punctual, but she is a queen. Yeah.
And the reason why this is my first one is because, in high school, I listened to music and I liked music, obviously, but I always felt like I never quite found like music that I was like, oh, this is my music taste.
Yeah.
And that was always something that I was embarrassed about. Like I listened to like Kanye West and Drake and like like Chance the Rapper, like whoever were the popular people.
Yeah.
But I always was like, this music is fine. I like some of these songs, but it never felt like me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when my friend introduced me to Lauryn Hill, I was like, oh my God. Like I connect to this music so much.
Yeah.
And it felt like if when someone asked me like who's one of your favorite artists and I were to say Lauryn Hill, it would be like, oh, I feel like I'm telling you a part of who I am.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone was like, who's your favorite artist, and I was like Chance the Rapper, it wouldn't feel reflective of who I am.
Yeah.
It was 2016.
No,
okay,
that's fair. No, I'm not blaming you at all.
It was 2016.
And I was gonna ask, and maybe you're about to say this, but what is it about Lauryn Hill that you like connect so deeply with?
I think part of it is like she's just an amazing performer. Like you can feel the emotion in her voice.
Yeah.
And all her songs are about like real love. I think part of it is because at the ends of the songs, there's always on the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, that album that this song is from, there's always audio recording of a classroom of teenagers talking about love. Like there's this guy and he's conducting this conversation with teenagers and they're talking about what they think of love. And I feel like that just really helps ground a lot of the songs that she has, because you're like, It makes you feel as if they've just listened to the song and now they're reflecting on love themselves through this song. So I really appreciate that. And this song is about the love that she has for her son. So a lot of the songs are about romantic love. But this song is really, really powerful because you can feel how much she loves her son Zion in this song. And it's also featuring Carlos Santana, the amazing guitarist.
Remind me of a... No, that's definitely not the right Carlos Santana. I'm sorry. Let's scratch that. Continue.
So that's why I love her. That's why I love this song. And that's why I feel like it's a reflection of me.
Yeah, that was beautiful. I feel like even you just saying that, I even have a greater appreciation for this song and the album as well, because I've heard Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, but I've never even like put that together with like the kind of spoken parts at the end. I was like, oh, she just threw in like fun little skits for us, like as a little fun treat. But you just added like so much depth to it that I hadn't even considered before. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
We'll play To Zion now. And as Ruby said, this is by Miss Lauryn Hill, featuring Carlos Santana, and of course it's from the album The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody listening enjoys.
Enjoy.
One day, I'm gonna understand. Zion. Touched my belly, overwhelmed by what I had been chosen to perform. But then an angel came one day, told me to kneel down and pray, for unto me a man-child would be born. Oh, this crazy circumstance, I knew his life deserved a chance, but everybody told me to be smart. Look at your career, they said, Lauryn, baby, use your head. But instead I chose to use my heart. Now the joy of my world is in Zion. Surely come, see life for you, my prince, has just begun. And I thank you for choosing me to come through on your life to be a beautiful reflection of his grace. See, I know that a gift so great is only one God could create. And I'm reminded every time I see your face that the joy. Now the
Okay, how many people in here have ever been in love? I know none of the guys gonna raise their hand, but how many of y'all ever been in love? Well, I know none of the guys been in love. We don't get in love, right? Oh, let this black man right here tell what his idea of love is. Because now all the time we hear young black men talk about love. About your personal definition. Don't tell me what Webster thinks.
Huh? Do everything for that person.
Okay, everything like what? Explain. Let him talk, come on. If I asked him to talk about a fancy car, he'd be right on point. But we want to talk about love. You can do it. What do you think? You said you love somebody. You should know why you love them, right?
The way they act.
Uh-huh.
The way they carry themselves. Stuff like that.
Okay.
They hang with their boys, whatever. And they just stand out. It's like sometimes it don't even matter like what they wear or what they look like. It's like that way. You know that you want to talk to him because he stands out. It's like he got a glow or something.
That's deep,
what I'm
brother.
Talking about.
I thought that was a beautiful point. Anybody else want to deal with that?
And sometimes, like, when they try to act funny in front of their boys and they get around and they say they love you, they can't love you. Because love wouldn't do that.
More to love than that. Love is not funny.
They love to hear Everly's nature-based music on Dead Succulent Haunt every Thursday at 5 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Oh, Dead Succulent Haunt, where your plants can grow and you can mourn those you've lost.
Come on, plants, let's grow.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca. to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% Indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Songs of Friends with Daniel and Ruby. Today's episode is, of course, Songs with Ruby because we have Ruby in the studio. The song you just heard was To Zion by Miss Lauryn Hill and Carla Santana from her album The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Ruby gave a lovely little soliloquy as part of her ballad, and we're going to keep it moving with the next song. So yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this song and why it's so important to you?
So as I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm kind of taking you through my journey with music.
Yes.
And SZA is obviously a really important part of that. We were in high school when Control came out, and I think it was just like the album for the girls and the gays, like everyone was obsessed with that.
Would you like compare it, not to cut you off, but would you compare it to like Miseducation of Lauryn Hill and its like impact for that generation of people at the time that album dropped for this one? Or would you say they're like different?
That's a really interesting question. I feel like I can't say because I don't know what the cultural impact was exactly at that time. I know that the song was like a huge sensation and was like she was like the number one female rapper, like her song charted, and it was a really big deal. But I don't know what the cultural impact was on teenagers at the time.
That's fair.
So I can't say, but I feel like the way that I felt about both of them was similar, sort of like, oh, I'm discovering like what music I connect to. And the reason why I wanted to bring this song on is because in describing who I was at this time and what the song means to me, I feel like it sort of reflects who I am.
Yeah.
Again, what my understanding of the show is that we're telling
no,
you about
it's
who
a,
we are.
That is the understanding. Okay, good. So you're great.
So the song that I picked is called Drew Barrymore. And it was my favorite song from this album. Something that SZA is notorious for is her inability to enunciate, right?
SZA-nese, yes.
And so I can never understand what she's saying. I already have a really hard time understanding what lyrics are in songs.
Yeah.
So the song Love Galore, there's a line that goes, "Sorry, I won't cry over spilt milk."
Yeah.
And I thought for a really long time that the line was, "Sorry, I won't cry or bust a milk."
Bust a milk.
Bust a milk. And my understanding,
like produce milk,
like lactate. Yes. Oh, okay. So I thought that.
Sorry.
I thought that she was making a statement of like, "Sorry, I won't cry or bust a milk." Like, I'm not going to apologize for my femininity. Like, I'm not going to apologize for being a woman. And me and like being like 15, 16. And feeling like I'm like identifying as a feminist and having like all of the like asshole boys that I grew up with, like being horrible, cruel asshole boys. I really like was sort of like grasping for these like signs of like feminist heroes. And
I'm
like,
here to tell you, Ruby, I will not ask you to lactate in the studio. So don't worry. I'm an ally of women. You heard it here first. I will not ask.
He will not be asking anyone to lactate.
Yeah.
The amount of men who ask me that. Just, no, I'm kidding.
It's
I'm
insane.
Kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just like up in the club and they're like, no, I'm kidding.
Coming up to you with a glass.
Yeah, they're like, they down their drink. They're like.
More.
But I thought that it was like a feminist statement.
Yeah.
Saying, like, I'm not going to apologize for my body, for my womanhood. And then I didn't realize that like I had the line wrong until I was like, you know, singing this song in a car with my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, we're saying different things. And so recently we went to the SZA concert.
Yes, the both of us.
The both of us
and
went.
Our friends Lily and Lynn and Arden. Shout out to them.
Shout out to them.
Yeah.
And Lily and I were in the nosebleeds. You, Arden and Lynn were in general admission.
Yes.
So Lily and I were going crazy because, as I said, we love SZA and like bonkers. Like, I have a giant bruise on my leg from like banging up against
I didn't know that.
From like banging up against things. At one point, like, she picked me up and I almost like fell over the railing.
Oh my god.
We got really crazy. We were screaming. And it was a really, really amazing experience.
Yeah,
I was walking on air afterwards. How did you feel about it?
I had a great time. I feel like SZA, like, because, like, control is very, like, important to me as well. And I feel like high school is a time for everyone when they're, like, who am I? And I feel like what you listen to and your music taste is a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So SZA has been on, like, my bucket list of artists to see forever. So when I did finally see her, it was just not even, like, I feel like I didn't even fully, like, process it until, like, afterwards.
Yeah.
But I feel like there were a lot of moments where I was able to, like, be in the moment and, like, have a great time. And I was really excited. And I had bought these, like, special, like, earplugs that would, like, I opened it up at dinner before we went to the show. But I, like, bought these special earplugs that would, like, cut out all the crowd noise so I'd only be able to hear, like, the instruments and the vocals and it wouldn't be too loud. So I had a great time. And yeah, it was an amazing time.
I'm so glad you had a great
Thank
time.
You.
It was really, really fun. And I was dancing the whole night. Like, sorry, I can't swear. I messed up my neck and my back.
Oh my goodness.
Dude, I was swinging my head so much that the next day I couldn't move. Like, I was my back and my neck were so tense. My knees, I messed up my knees so much from dancing during Low.
Low was really good.
I was just like kind of like twerking and I was like,
no, that's very fair. If you don't come out of the show with multiple injuries,
dude,
like, are you even a SZA fan?
Just kidding. I wasn't twerking. I can't twerk.
Okay.
You were like, what?
No, I was. I believed you.
Yeah.
I believed you.
But anyways, because there wasn't a lot of space to move, you kind of had to work with what you had.
Yeah.
So that's why I messed up my body so much, is because I couldn't. There wasn't a lot of space. But anyways, so I chose Drew Barrymore because, once again, I misheard the line. I thought that the line was, warm enough for ya, but it's warm enough. I thought it was woman enough. Again, I'm like, I keep projecting all of these like highly feminist statements onto SZA's songs when really like Lily was like, you think SZA's like a giant feminist? She's only like a normal feminist. I was like, okay, fair.
I mean, I do think it's somewhat like profound that even in like the malapropisms, there's still something to like latch onto.
Yeah. So. Ooh, malapropisms.
Yeah. Mm. I've literally learned what that word was like last week because I kept doing those.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out what the word was. Yeah. But yeah, should we just play it?
Let's play Drew Barrymore. Let's do it.
Awesome. So everyone listening, here's Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore. Oh my God. Drew Barrymore by SZA. Thank you. From the album Control. Enjoy.
Why is it so hard to accept the party is over? You came with your new friends and her mom jeans and her new fans, and she's perfect and I hate it. Oh, so glad you made it. I'm so glad you could come back. Somebody get the tacos. Somebody spark the blunt. Let's start the narcos off at episode one. Bring the gin, got the juice. Bring the sin, got that too. Won't you shut up? No, you're my favorite. I'm sorry, I don't shave my legs at night. I'm sorry, I'm not your baby mama. I'm sorry, you got karma coming to you. Collect your soul, get it right. To me like you say you do, 'cause it's hard enough. You got to treat me like this, lonely enough to let you treat me like this. Do you really love me or just wanna love me down?
All right, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we. You're not even gonna last. All right.
Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France, Montreal. What the
is the script? I couldn't even. What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, okay, just back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a fucking elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR production department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Songs with...
I'm going to do it wrong. Songs I'm about to spit in this mic. Freestyle.
Oh, sorry. Thank you for singing over the ad that I kept playing. Appreciate that. I do that too often, but you know what? Mm-hmm. It's live. That's the quirks.
The amount of times I've done that too, or there's just been like random silences. Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, what I was going to say is this is Songs with Daniel and Ruby. The song you just heard was Drew Barrymore by SZA from her album Control, her debut album, I might add. Mm. Ruby and I were talking about the SZA concert and how lovely it was. Was there a song she didn't perform that you really wanted her to perform?
No. Honestly, there wasn't.
I was like fully fed.
All of
satisfied.
My favorites. I mean, yeah, all my favorites she did. What about you?
She did most of my favorites except for Normal Girl. Like, I was
I'm honestly surprised she didn't do Normal Girl.
Yeah, I feel like
it's weird.
A popular one. Yeah. And I feel like it blew up on social media recently and stuff. But, yeah, anyway, I really loved it. And I also really loved the, like, rendition of Prom she did because she kind of did a little bit of, like an 80s twist on it, which I thought was pretty fun. But
and she also played Bag Lady.
Yeah.
But a little snippet.
Just like a little bit.
I honestly was like, I would have loved to hear her rendition of Bag Lady for a bit longer.
I think that was my overall like little nitpick of the show. Like, I feel like because she was trying to get through so much, I feel like sometimes she like cut some songs short when I would have been so happy if she literally like sang each song to its completion, took a little break and then like came back and did it. But I don't, I mean, overall, I still had a great time.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It was
magical. And it was beautiful. Like, the set design was beautiful. And
the budget was there.
There was a story. Like, there was a... Mm-hmm. Lily pointed this out. I was, like, just, like, so, like, into the experience. I didn't notice that there, like, as she moved through the concert, there was actually, like, a narrative arc that was happening.
I did not get that either. What did Lily say?
Like, there was, like, she was on the ship. Then, like, there was a storm. Then the ship sank. Then she was underwater. Like, and other than Kill Bill, like, all of the set design was, like, moving, like, towards narrative arc. Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. That reminds me kind of like, Kendrick Lamar's show. Because he basically played, like, his latest album, like, front to back pretty much. And then, like, some of the songs were, like, switched or omitted. And then kind of just, like, put in his hits from older albums in between. And it was also, like, structured like a therapy session. And by the end, he had, like, had his, like, therapeutic breakthrough or whatever. So I love when artists kind of incorporate a little theater, a little stage play into
it. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And this is kind of a left field question. But for those who don't know, Ruby is a writer. She loves to write. She loves comedy. So I was going to A, say if you wanted to tell us a little bit about that. And B, I was going to ask, like, in your, like, show that you're going to write that we're all going to be watching on, like, Peacock Plus / Disney Verizon, like, Ultra in, like, 10 years or so. Do you see music being, like, a large factor in your writing? Or, like, how does it factor into it at all?
Oh, Daniel, you're so good at this. That's such a good question. I think about that all the time, actually.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, oh, if I had a show, like, I want this friend to be the music curator. Or I listen to a song and a scene appears in my head of, like what would be happening in my show where, like, this song would be resonating.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really important part to me, actually, especially since working at CITR and I listen to a lot of Canadian artists that I didn't normally, like, have really access to before.
Yeah.
I really want to prioritize, like, Canadian music in that because there's so much amazing work that's being done here that I just like, at least I don't like normally listen to unless it's through CITR. So that's something that I do think about a lot. And music would be an incredibly important component for like creating like drama in a scene.
And do like lyrics or songwriting, does that influence your like writing of just like whatever you write, whether it's like a paper or a script or a premise or whatever, or is it quite like separated?
Do you mean like do like lyrics and songs inspire me or?
Yeah, like does that influence like your writing style at all, or is it more of like a, how does music support or like embolden whatever I'm doing?
I think it would be short-sighted for me to say that it doesn't. I can't think of an example
where
I'm like, oh, this lyric from this song made me write this or that. But when you're consuming something and you're connecting to it, there's no way that it's not changing you in some way.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that it, like, the answer has to be yes.
The answer has to be yes. Yeah. Well, in that case, I have a question for you. Would you like to introduce our next song?
Yes.
Okay.
So, as I said earlier, you know, I'm trying to take you through who I am and explain a song that is reflective of me in some way. Mm-hmm. So the next song is called Poverty Train, and it's by Laura Nyro. So this is a little quirky fact about me. I'm obsessed with biographical documentaries. So,
I did not know that. Okay.
Documentaries about people's lives. I eat them up. So
what's your favorite?
Jane Fonda.
Oh, you love Jane Fonda.
I love Jane Fonda
rules your world. Yes. Oh my God.
But in part because of the documentary, because it's such an amazing documentary and it takes you through her life in a very structured way. She structures her life in five acts. There's five acts, five sort of major chapters of her life.
Much like you did for us here.
Yes. Oh, thank you. With these five songs. Mm-hmm. The director, stay with me,
director
of that documentary, her name is Susan Lacey, and she directs American Masters, which is a program on PBS that's been like going on for 40 years that does these major like biographical documentaries about really influential American artists.
Wow.
And so she directed Jane Fonda's documentary, and for American Masters, she directed a documentary about David Geffen. David Geffen is a music producer who discovered like a lot of the like folk rock people of the 70s. So Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills and Nash, the Eagles. He was like very influential in like that crowd. But he also discovered Laura Nyro. And so when I was watching the story of his life, first of all, I love a story. It's just his story is so juicy.
Yeah.
And the reason why I connected to this artist and this song is because the story of David Geffen, he's like this incredibly influential. He's like a billionaire. And he's like he's signed like hundreds of artists. And like if we could Google it, like a ton of people that we listen to now.
Mm-hmm.
And he also like founded DreamWorks. Like he's very influential. But
so he's responsible for Shrek
yeah.
and Puss in Boots 2 The Last
yes,
Wish?
Yes.
Oh my God, I love him. Okay.
So the story of him and Laura Nyro is he was this up-and-coming agent or producer. And he was like nonstop. Like he was known to be just like sort of so fiery and so ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
And he really believed in Laura. She was sort of this like weird, spiritual kind of like ethereal figure, but she was this amazing musician and he saw that talent.
Yeah.
And they became like really, really close friends. And his like work, his life became dedicated to like making her a star.
Wow.
But then he started his own record company.
Yeah.
And she decided not to sign with him. And she signed with Columbia Records instead.
Oh, no.
And it ruined their friendship. And it was a betrayal to him because like they were like she was his everything.
Yeah.
And it became and he all the people that he signed became huge stars. And her career ended up not going where she wanted it to. But Columbia Records was a huge record company, so she was just sort of like hedging.
Putting
her bets.
Business first.
But the way that the story is told in the documentary, it just you feel the betrayal that he must have felt because they build up what he did for her, how he became like her champion as an artist, and then she doesn't sign with his record label.
Yeah.
And, anyways. So,
I feel like I'm right there.
Yeah. So this song is reflective of me because of my love of stories and my love of like connecting with like the real people and my love of Hollywood. Like part of the reason I love this is because it's Hollywood drama.
Yes.
So I just love this song too. She was actually an incredible songwriter. And the the person who directed this documentary that I found the song from was Susan Lacey, who directed the Jane Fonda documentary, my love of biographical documentaries, Hollywood stories, and stories in general.
Okay, yeah, we have the full picture there. Yeah. So I hope everybody was paying attention because there will be a quiz at the end. But yeah, this is Poverty Train by Laura Nyro. I've never heard this song, so really excited to hear it, especially with how significant it is to you, Ruby, and it seems like just popular culture in general. So here's that song, and it's from the album Eli and the 13th Confession. Hope you enjoy.
Let's go for the poverty train. Let's go for the poverty train.
Hello, hello, you're listening. Hello, 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 hello. That was amazing. That was so good. I don't know. I think my favorite thing about my friendship with Ruby is, like, I feel like I'm typically, like, a very calm, like, reserved person, or at least I would like to think. And I don't know why, but for some reason, whenever I spend time with Ruby, I just want to be, like, stupid and, like, and silly and, like, burst into song for some reason.
I love
and
that.
I don't even remember, like, when we started doing that. It might have been when we were on the air for one of the several events that you've hosted, because for those who don't know, Ruby is a CITR queen, and she hosts a lot of fun events for CITR. And I don't know if it was when maybe, like, called me into the studio one time when an event was coming on, but for some reason we just started, like,
singing at each other
like unnecessarily, and since then it's kind of been just a thing.
Amazing.
So we'll keep it going.
I love it.
Yeah, that was a great song. Anyway,
I love to be that person that you can be stupid with.
Thank you. I hope that didn't sound like I was calling you stupid.
I took it as a compliment.
Okay, good, because I fully meant it as a compliment. I think you just bring out the fun in people.
Thank you.
When people are around you, they're able to be their true selves. They don't feel judged. They don't feel like they need to act, like, serious or more professional than they are. So, and
I'm literally
one,
beaming right now. Thank
you. I'm glad you're beaming. Because one example of that, which doesn't reflect well on me, but before this is a concert, all our friends were, like, having dinner. And I, like, really wanted to, like, get in line, like, to go. And I think Ruby was still eating. So she was like, you could just go if you want to go. And usually I'm like, no, like, let me stay. Let me be, like, nice and, like, a regular person that waits for their friend to finish eating. And she was like, no, just go. And I think we did that, like, a couple more times. And I was like, okay, wait, I don't need to, like, do this with Ruby right now. Like, she clearly knows I just want to leave. So I'm just going to leave her and it'll be fine. So thank you for letting me leave. I think we probably got it at the same exact time. But
no, I literally said to Lily afterwards, I was like, I'm so glad Daniel left, because you were like, no, it's fine. I'll stay. And I was like, literally, like, go. Like, you want to go. I don't want to keep you.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't need to do that with me. And you were like, yeah, we're past the honeymoon phase. And friendship. And I was like, I love that.
Yeah, we're past the honeymoon phase. I mean, I don't even know if there was a honeymoon phase, because I feel like there's been no peak on how pleasant the friendship has been. Or at least I feel like there's been no point where I've had to, like, act like how I'm not acting with you right now.
Or just be too, like, overly polite or overly formal. Yeah.
Exactly.
Which, there's just been a level of comfort, which is really nice.
Yes, that is how I would describe it.
Yeah.
So I will stop flirting with Ruby and let her introduce the next song. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's next?
So the next song is called I Know What I Know. It's by Paul Simon. This, I was like, I love Paul Simon, and people make fun of me because it's something that I really connect with my dad over. Like, he loves Paul Simon, and through him, I grew a love of Paul Simon and Paul Simon's songwriting. He's a Jewish king.
And the Jewish queen is before me right now, for those who don't know.
And the reason why this song means a lot to me, or why I chose this Paul Simon song, is because I listened to it a lot during the pandemic. There's a few lines in this song that I find really fun. They're sort of playful lines. There's one that he's talking about being at, there's a line that goes, "Don't I know you from the cinematographer's party?" And during the pandemic, I was stuck in my house, my childhood home in suburbia for 18 months, feeling so restless. Like, oh my God, I know what I want to do. I want to have a big life. I want to be with artists. Like the cliche, like 19-year-old, right? Still 21, still cliche.
Even though it's cliche, I feel like for you, it's not a big life. It's like the life that matches your like level of ambition and energy. But continue.
<Thank you. laughs> But I was feeling very like stuck. And like this one line in the song, "Don't I know you from the cinematographer's party?" I was like, I want a life where I went to the party at a cinematographer's house, and then I go to another party and I say, "Hey, don't I know you from the cinematographer's party?" And there was in the song, you'll hear the line, it's sort of him in this kind of flirty situation. And I used to like say the line to myself, sort of acting it out, because it was just like what I dreamed of, like the life that I dreamed of, of being amongst artists and going to these parties and like talking to interesting people and making the cool stuff that I wanted to make. So it was sort of like an escape to listen to this song and yeah. to imagine that during a pandemic when I felt so stuck and so bored and so stagnant and frustrated. So I felt like this song is reflective of me because it reflects those ideas and ambitions that I have, but also it reflects like a really amazing relationship that I have with my dad and just how much I love Paul Simon in general.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And I know a little bit about like your dreams and ambitions, but can you tell us a little bit about like, you know, I mean, I mentioned you're a writer and you love to write. What is in the future for Ruby Raven?
Well, I want to be a comedy writer. I'd love to have my own show, obviously, as every comedy writer would.
Yeah.
But I just honestly, when I was like 12 or 11, whatever, I was like, my life was just laughing with my friends, giggling with my friends. And I'm like, if this could be a job, like, I would want that job. You yeah. know what I mean? So that's why, like, I love stories, mm-hmm. but I just want to laugh. Like, I just want to laugh all day long. It feels like something that I kind of have to do. You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
Not to be dramatic, but
no, it wasn't dramatic. It was very reasonable.
I love sitcoms. Like, I grew up loving sitcoms, watching them all the time, and it was something that like I would spend hours watching TV in high school.
Yeah.
And my brother would be like, "Haha, like your sport is watching TV." And one time he said this, and my best friend was like, "No, but seriously, like Ruby watches TV like it's an actual sport."
I love that. I mean, without your like sports likemanship viewing, that was not the right word, but without your athletic viewing of content, you wouldn't have gotten the Ballad of Ruby like reference that I
yeah exactly made very obscurely. Ballad of Buster yeah. Scruggs, exactly. My like intense consumption of pop culture.
Yes,
but yeah. So I want to be a comedy writer because. You know, I think that when you, as a writer, you need to think, what do I wish that I saw?
Yeah.
What would make me feel seen if I saw it? Write that. Like, write that thing that would make you feel seen or would make you feel acknowledged that you feel like is lacking in the popular culture right now.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what I want to do as a writer is write the stories that I wish I had seen. Because I felt like, honestly, I learned about life through watching television, through watching.
Me
like,
too. A lot like of the, it teaches you a lot.
And
yeah.
so when I have experiences that I didn't see reflected on TV, I'm like, well, I don't know how to handle this. Because normally I look to whatever show to go, oh, I saw this in an episode of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't feel so alone. Like
exactly.
genuinely, it's like television is actually that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever something happens to me that I'm like, oh, damn, like I feel kind of embarrassed because I never saw, you know,
yeah.
I never saw a character do this on a show. Then I just write it down and I'm like, okay, well, the character's going to have to do this embarrassing thing so that someone else can watch it and feel not so alone when they do that embarrassing thing themselves.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I feel very similar too. You don't have to tell us your most embarrassing thing or your schmoment. And that's an Easter egg for listeners of Not My First Schmodio
yes.
every Friday from 11 to 12 p.m.
Yes!
on CITR 101.9 FM, hosted by Ruby Raven.
Just a little plug
yeah. for you. But I was going to say, what would be like the premise of your, I mean, you've told me before, but mm-hmm. for those listening, what would be like the general premise of your TV show that would have made you feel seen growing up?
I mean, I think just writing about queer characters.
Yeah.
And writing about internalized homophobia. Like, I think I'm in a community that has a lot of like queer people and a lot of people that come from places where it's safe to be queer. But because there's so much internalized homophobia in our society, we're all kind of surprised by how much we're having to grapple with internally
mm-hmm.
when we were raised to not care if someone was gay. And yet why are we having like this inner turmoil when we were supposedly raised in a society that was fine with gay people, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that I would like to sort of show like what's it like to be in a very queer community and a very safe place, but still not like 100% comfortable with yourself.
Yeah, that's yeah. very interesting. And is there like a certain like premise that would be attached to that? Or would it be more of like a slice of life, like a Rami and Insecure? Or would it be like...
I mean, I think I have a premise. I'm not going to say it on air.
Okay, very fair.
Because I'm still working on it.
Very fair.
But I definitely have a premise that I think would go well with that concept. But yeah.
Okay. Well, then in that case... Like Paul Simon, I Know What I Know.
I Know What I Know.
So here's the song, and I hope everyone listening enjoys. Enjoys.
over and I guess you thought I was all right. All right in a sort of a limited way for an off night. She said, don't I know you from the cinematographer's party? I said, who am I to blow against the wind? I know what I know. I've said what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I keep in the back of my head. I know what I know. I've said what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I keep in the back of my head. She said there's something about you that really reminds me of money. She was the kind of girl that could say things that weren't that funny. I said, what does that mean? I really remind you of money. She said, oh, who am I to blow against the wind? I know what I know. I've seen what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I keep. Aren't you the woman who was recently given a Fulbright? She said, don't I know you from the cinematographer's party? I said, who am I to blow against the wind? I know what I know. I'll sing what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I do in the back of my head. I know what I know. I'll sing what I've said. We come and we go. That's the thing that I do in the back of my head.
Thank you. That was I Know What I Know by Paul Simon featuring General M.D. Shrinda and the Gaza Sisters. That's from his album Graceland. Ruby was showering me with kind words before the break. That's why you heard a thank you. But yeah, this is Songs with Daniel and Ruby. We got about 5 minutes left. Do you want to introduce the next song to us?
Or yeah,
the
last song? We're gonna play it out. So
yeah.
As I said, taking you through who I am, this song is what I'm listening to today. Like the song,
yeah.
I'm the type of person, I'm actually surprised that more people aren't like this, but I will literally listen to one song over and over and over and over and over again.
Oh, me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No, you're not alone. I just do it in secret. Like,
yeah,
I don't do it around people.
But like, fully, if I'm in a car with someone and we're listening to a song, I'm like, can we listen to that again? And they'll be like, what? No, we're like, I want to listen to the next one. We just heard that one. I'm like, but it's amazing.
It's so good.
So
yeah.
I will listen to a song until I'm like blue in the face. Like,
yeah.
Because you know when you love a song that much, you are connecting to it so much that you feel like you and that song are having a love affair.
Yeah.
Like that's what it feels like, the connection that you have to that one song. So I will have that love affair with the song until we've fallen out of love, you know?
Yeah.
And then I put it aside for a little while and then we reconnect, you know?
Reconnect.
I'll,
it's an old flame.
Yeah.
Maybe you have a little brief fling and you're
yeah,
like, okay, let me put you back to the
bit,
side.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I'll come back to
I'll
you
come
when
back
I'm
to
ready.
You later.
Once we've both grown as people.
So right now, my friend Francis, shout out to Francis, turned me on to Haley Hendricks.
Okay.
Who is coming to Vancouver in April. And Francis's birthday party was going to be at this Haley Hendricks show. And they texted me and they were like, buy tickets. And I was like, $30? I'm quite a frugal person.
You are very frugal.
Like
for those who don't know, I'm sorry to embarrass you like that. Well, I don't think it would even embarrass you. But Ruby and I went to a comedy show together. And she literally brought out like 7 different Tupperwares of like different like meals and snacks. And there was like a Lindt chocolate. There was some kind of like Filipino like cracker snack that I'd never heard of. Like she just had all these like she's
I had
prepared.
A sandwich. I had heirloom tomatoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I call your tote bag bottomless.
Yeah.
Because it literally it was literally out of like a magic act or like a clown act or some kind of comedy skit where like you kept pulling out like different things where I was like, is she going to pull out like a vehicle next? Like will she pull out a bicycle? Like it was so hilarious to me. But anyway, yes, Ruby is frugal. I just wanted everybody to know that, which is a good person to have in your life, because I'm not frugal at all.
It's because I'm gonna graduate and I want to be a writer. I'm gonna be a poor artist, and I'm very aware of the fact that I'm gonna be a poor artist, so I'm trying to pinch those pennies now.
That is smart. Yeah.
Anyway, so wait, how did I even get onto this?
Haley Hendricks, yes. $30 concert.
$30 concert after fees is going to be $50. So because I do a lot of stuff at CITR, I have two shows, Not My First Shmodeo, Art Support. I worked here over the summer. I'm the events exec. I was communicating with MRG, the promotions company who promotes a ton of artists that come to the city. So I reached out to them and I said, hey, I'd make an ad for you in exchange for some free tickets. And they ended up giving me 10 tickets.
Oh, my God.
So that I could, when I went back to Francis and I said, hey, I have all these tickets. If your friends if they haven't bought tickets yet, I can supply them. And that felt really cool that I was like, it almost felt like a gift economy. Like we were like exchanging goods rather than like exchanging money. Like I was like, I'll do the service for you.
And a great gift for Francis too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and I also felt competent. I was like, look at me using my like CITR connections, not just like sitting to the side.
Yeah.
You know, like.
In Sauder, we call that building your network.
Building my network. So that felt, I just felt good. And I was proud of myself that I was like, okay, I can't spare this change. How can I work around? How can I do something and make sure that I can go to this concert and celebrate my friend's birthday? So that was cool. And also I feel like it's just a reflection of how much I love CITR, how important it is in my life, what a great resource it's been to me as a comedy writer, someone who wants to pursue comedy, having a show where I can express myself, going to cultural events happening in the city through CITR and meeting lots of cool people and being able to interview artists. So I feel like this song is reflective of that, in that I discovered it because of CITR, because of Francis. And right now, so the song that I'm really into is called No Face. It's literally a 2-minute song and it's so emotional. Like it's visceral.
Yeah.
And it's also lovely and it kind of makes me sick, but I can't stop listening to it.
Like the best kind of love.
Yeah.
Any parting words before we play out with No Face?
I had the best time on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. And everything you said, I love you too, Ruby. And I feel like everything you said, like, filled in some of the lines for me on, like, better understanding kind of, like, how you've gone to where you are. Because everything you just said about you being resourceful is so true. Ruby is so ambitious, so driven. When she wants to do something, she does it. No fear, like, in her eyes ever. So I hope you got some sense
of fear.
That.
I feel a lot of fear.
I can't see it at all.
Okay.
You do it anyway.
Thank you.
But I hope this show has helped showcase some of that, or at least given at least a sense. This has been Songs with Friends, specifically Songs with Ruby. And we'll see you next week, 4 to 5.
Thank you, Daniel. I love you, Daniel.
Thank you. I love you, too. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Here's No Face.
Here's No Face.